is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Three Dog Night, 1972 on a throwback Thursday. But this weekend, the Big Ten got some pretty good football games. Got some good football teams ranked in the top 25. And a couple of other stories that hit the conference this year. Eric Olson joins us from the Associated Press on our Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Visit them for a quote at progressive.com today. Eric Olson, Associated Press on Big Ten football. How are you, Eric?
I'm doing good, and I'm even doing better now that I've got a little Three Dog Night this morning.
I know,
in my
I'm
system.
Telling you. Absolutely. let's start with Ann Arbor, Michigan, and Penn State. I'm looking at this. Like, if there was a feature for these two teams when they meet up on Saturday, what would that be? What would be the thing that you would notice when these two teams play?
It's probably not the sexiest thing, but I think that the big key in this game is how Penn State can protect Sean Clifford, the quarterback, because Michigan has a real relentless pass rush, and I do believe that that's going to kind of be a deciding factor in the game. Is if Penn State can protect Clifford, I think that they can stay with Michigan on the road. Obviously Michigan has a lot of weapons offensively. They're playing real well right now. They haven't played a ranked team yet, but then again, neither is Penn State. So this is going to be a good one for sure. And I just think that Sean Clifford's the key for Penn State and keeping pace.
Now, people remember Michigan from last year in the playoffs in the run. How similar is this team? I know there's some personnel changes, obviously, but how similar in style is this Michigan team to last year?
Well, I do think that the defense has been tweaked, and they had to replace some guys. But J.J. McCarthy, I think, has finally established himself as the guy at quarterback. And, Blake Corum, he's still around, and he's having a really good year. I think that the biggest changes have been on defense, and they've definitely they've definitely produced on that side of the ball. But then again, they haven't had the big test yet. I think that comes tomorrow.
Illinois is ranked in the top 25 at 5-1. They've got two conference wins on the season. Brett Bielema, give us an idea on the Fighting Illini.
Yeah, that's a great story. I love the Illini right now as far as just watching what they're doing under Bielema. They've got a little bit of a quarterback problem right now because Tommy DeVito hurt his ankle against Iowa last week. But Art Sitkowski, who's the old Rutgers guy who has been around Illinois for a while now as a transfer, it seems like he's in his 20th year of college football. He's a guy that is very capable and can keep the train on the tracks. But they've been incredible. Going into this Minnesota game, they're number two in the nation behind the Gophers in total defense, and they've got they put pressure on the quarterback. They have the nation's leading rusher in Chase Brown, and I just think that they're a wonderful story, and it's an amazing turnaround for Illinois under Bielema. And it's got to leave people at Nebraska, after Scott Frost, was so hailed as the savior of the Huskers program, and they floundered for 4+ years under him. And then Bielema, the old soldier Bielema, comes into Champaign, and he's got that program kind of on the right track in less than two full seasons.
Well, with the talk of Penn State and Michigan and Illinois and these teams, there's always Ohio State, and like Alabama in the SEC, they are kind of the standard. Rankings aside, how close is the best teams outside of Ohio State to Ohio State, just the way you see them?
Well, I think that Michigan, they're the defending East champion, and I think that they'll, depending on what happens with Penn State tomorrow at Ann Arbor, I think Michigan probably will end up playing Ohio State again. But I do think that there's always some separation there between Ohio State and the rest of the pack. But, Maryland, some people kind of were thinking that they were a sneaky team this year, but I think that they've kind of established themselves as not going to be a contender. And there's nobody in the West that can keep up with Ohio State, at least in my opinion. So, they're definitely set apart, and I think probably Michigan and then maybe Penn State would be the next line, and there's just nothing in the West.
Let's be asking about Wisconsin and Paul Chris being let go, and I get the wins and losses. That seems to be the answer. Is there anything more, though, than that? Is there some other underwriting thing that sort of doomed Paul Chris and his job in Madison?
I mean, that's a great question, because Paul Chryst did not take the full amount of his buyout. Now, you got to remember, Paul is a Wisconsin guy through and through. And, you know, I think that maybe there may be some of that aspect to it that he, you know, I can't say it for sure, but you almost wonder if he just didn't see the writing on the wall that maybe he was burned out. Who knows? Leonard is going to be the kind of the coach in waiting. They want it. With some of the movement going on already in college football, Leonard was going to be a candidate at other places. And so maybe Wisconsin wanted to give him a half a season of an audition just to see if he truly is the guy, because I think that's probably the way they were leaning and will be leaning once the dust clears. But I mean, that's the thing with Chryst, is that he took, you know, a significantly less buyout than he was owed. And so just, you ask a great question, because that's what I was thinking as well, is what's really at work here. Yeah. Because he isn't taking the full buyout. So, you know, again, other than his allegiance to Wisconsin, you just kind of wonder if maybe he just wasn't a little bit burned out.
Nebraska, if everything being equal and you can get money at other places and you are a good coach with a good resume that can have your pick of available jobs, is Nebraska still one of the good jobs in college football?
I think that it's still a good job, and the main reason is because you know, from a facility standpoint, that's up and coming. They're building a new football facility that's supposed to open next year. That's a $160 million facility, and obviously facilities is the big thing. Also, name, image, and likeness. You wouldn't think it in a state of 1.8 million, but Nebraska has a very strong NIL program just because of the incredible support that the team gets. You know, I mean, it's the only, kind of like the only franchise in the state. So all energy is directed when it comes to supporting the team to Nebraska football. And so the businesses and the community, you know, around Lincoln and the state really step up with the NIL money. And that's a huge factor these days. So I do think that and also the support, and the administration is going to do anything they can to win at Nebraska. And you can see that because of all the way they go through coaches here the last 20 years. So I do think that Nebraska is a good job if you can get it up and running. The only drawback is recruiting, as you know. You know, there's just not a natural recruiting pocket. And, you know, Osborne and Devaney, they went out and did it nationally, and they had incredible success all those years. And that is one thing that I think Nebraska fans and people that follow the program need to do, is to stop thinking like it's the 1990s and that 1969 to 2002 stretch where they won 9 games a year. That's foolishness. That was lightning in a bottle. And I think that, you know, this is probably an 8 or 9 win program. You can count on that. And then every so often they're going to rise up and bite somebody and maybe make a chase at a conference. But I think Nebraska is a good job. It isn't what it was, but I think things are in place to be pretty good.
Some of these teams have had a handful of conference games, and their records are pretty decent. Give me an idea on Minnesota. Is Minnesota sneaky good?
You know, Minnesota, yeah, they're not. There's nothing overly flashy about them, that's for sure. I think that their time may be now in the Big Ten West, just because of the way the Big Ten West sets up, with really not any incredibly strong teams. I was a little surprised that they lost to Purdue at home a couple weeks ago, but they've had an open date going into this game against Illinois, and they can be right back in it if they can win. The thing that set them back is Chris Ottman-Bell, their star receiver, he's out for the season with injury, and also Mohamed Ibrahim, their star running back, he missed the last game with injury, and they're going to get him back against Illinois. So I don't know. I think in the West, Minnesota's been pretty good here for the last, you know, 3-4 years, and they were second place last year. So I think everybody believes that they're you know, one of the top teams in the West. But Wisconsin has established itself as the standard bearer for so many years in that division that they were picked as the favorite. But I do believe that Minnesota is very capable of winning it, because I don't think this is going to be Wisconsin's year, even though they're not out of it, despite all the tumult up there.
Michigan State's lost 3-4 in a row. They're 0-3 in conference play. Is that surprising, or is that sort of, was there going to be some hard times in East Lansing?
Well, I think that you wouldn't have expected the Spartans to be quite like they were last year. But the thing that they've had a problem with, they've had a couple key injuries on defense, and it just hasn't clicked for Mel Tucker up there after he got that big contract.
Yeah.
So I'm a little surprised Michigan State is as bad as it is. You know, they played Washington, you know, really, really tough before Washington won up in Seattle in the non-conference. So I thought, okay, Michigan State's probably going to be okay. They're going to be middle of the pack in the East. I guess I did not see them being, you know, at the bottom of the standings right now, below even Indiana.
Eric Olson, Associated Press on the Big Ten. I'm making a note in my book, maybe a little Joy to the World next time you come on, or a couple of other Three Dog Night songs next time we get to
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Joy to the World, man. Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
You got it, my man. Take care. Thanks for joining us, my friend, and giving us an insight on this conference as we continue along. Thanks so much.
Oh, very, very nice. Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
You got it. Absolutely. Eric Olson, Associated Press on the Big Ten. Fascinating conference, right? Fascinating conference. My big question still is this. It is almost a given, and it has been a given with the playoff, that you could have two good teams in the SEC. One of them wins the conference championship, and another one has a season where maybe they're not in the conference championship, but they got one loss, or maybe they played you in the conference championship with that one loss, and they get these two teams in. Michigan and Ohio State will not meet for the conference championship. We know that. They play in the same division. But if both teams are unbeaten and they play each other, and the one that wins that game goes on to win the Big Ten title, that one is going to the playoff. But what about the team that lost that game? Let's say it's Michigan. And Michigan is just home, and they watch the Big Ten title game on TV. Is there enough of the, would they get enough to be the one of the second teams to come out? Or is it just, we just have this bias towards SEC football being like, well, you can get two teams in the SEC, but nowhere else? Because I think Michigan and Ohio State could be that answer. The question is, will they meet each other unbeaten? Because if either one of them is, if both of them are coming in with a loss, that answer is likely to be no. But if both of them meet unbeaten later on this season, you might get that. And I think it would be kind of fascinating to watch the SEC world sort of wonder if that is going to happen in a 14 playoff. All right, we'll continue. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.